Good afternoon, everybody. I'm very happy to be here to talk about early school leaving, not because it's my favorite topic, but also because I think evidence-based approaches in early school leaving are more than, in policies against early school leaving are more than needed. So this makes really also sense from our policy perspective. Yep, here we are. Well, in June 2010, heads of state and government adopted a new strategy for Europe, Europe 2020. And this strategy, I don't want to talk about the strategy in detail anyway, think you might know it already. But this strategy focused very much on smart, sustainable, and inclusive growth. And education has a much stronger focus in the strategy than before in the Lisbon strategy and on other comparable papers. So one of the targets in this Europe 2020 strategy is reducing early school leaving to less than 10% by 2020. I will explain this 10% rate in a couple of minutes. But of course, that the idea makes perfectly sense because early school leaving, of course, conflicts with smart growth, it conflicts with inclusive growth, and it conflicts also with sustainable growth. But in addition, there are many good reasons to act more on early school leaving and to do more in this area. Early school leaving creates massive problems for young people concerned. It increases their likelihood to be unemployed or, if employed, to be in a very precarious employment, in a very unstable employment, to have a higher risk of poverty, of social exclusion, and all the things linked to it, higher risk of being in bad health, higher likelihood to drug, substance abuse, etc. For societies, it creates huge costs. It creates huge costs in terms of social support and social aid, but also loss of income, loss of tax. So even if we don't look so much on, let's say, on an ethical point on the young person, we could also say for European societies, early school leaving is a real economic and financial problem. So even if we would only take this perspective, it would be totally justified to act. But of course, there's a much stronger social focus also behind. In addition, the problem is, and that is something we have to keep in mind then in discussing evidence-based for policies against early school leaving, that early school leaving is a complex problem. It is not easy to solve. There are multiple reasons why young people leave education and training, and there is not something like the early school leaver. So you can't easily describe how an early school leaver looks like and what his or her motivations are to drop out. They have different reasons. They have often more than one reason. It might be their social situation. It might be their family situation, the mental health problems, educational problems. Quite numerous. But before I go more into detail, I have to bore you with definitions, I'm afraid, because also at European level, we use a different definitions compared to the one used in most member states. This has very much practical reasons. So we define early school leavers, and that is the definition I also now use in the follow-up, we measure them at the point when they are 18 or 24 years old. They have not finished upper secondary education, so not ISCET level 3 type of education, and they are not any longer in education and training. The data we use are coming from the Labour Force Survey, and they look for those young people between 18 and 24 who answer that they have not upper secondary education and that they have not been in any training or education during the last 4 weeks before the survey. So this is a kind of very, well, it's an indicator. It is not really precise data we are using. It's just simply an indicator which gives us a picture of the situation in the European countries and gives us some hints in that direction. But of course, you will all perfectly agree with me that this is not sufficient for evidence-based policy. That is the situation now at the moment in, in Europe. And if we look a little bit at this map, we see that there are some countries which have a very high rate of early school leaving, for example, like Spain, Iceland, Norway, Italy, Turkey. Some which are a little bit more in the middle, so they're around 10%, a little bit up, a little bit below. And some were surprisingly low in early school leaving. If we would go deeper into the regional level, we would see, of course, quite differences in many countries and for regions. So, if we would look at Spain, the north part of Spain would probably have the same color as France because the north part of Spain doesn't have such an enormous early school leaving problem, whereas the south part is much more affected. So really we have a situation in Europe where the situation differs between countries, and it differs within countries between the different regions and even between municipalities. So we have a very different pictures in areas, and the European average and also the national average in principle cover a little bit all these differences. And looking more into detail into this problem, we also have to take a very narrow view at regional levels. Nevertheless, I will stick now a bit to the national level, and of course from a Brussels perspective that is much easier for us and is as such already sufficiently complicated. But there we looked a little bit now at the situation during the last 10 years. And we see that in some countries the situation has really improved. For example, if we look at a country like Malta here, in 2000, they had an early school leaving rate of over 50%. That means 50% of their young people answered in the labor force survey that they do not have upper secondary level education and are not anymore in education and training. During the last 10 years, they reduced it to something below 40, which is still extremely high, but nevertheless, there is a clear tendency and a clear downward trend. We have it also a clear downward trend in other countries like Portugal, for example, or Italy. But then we have some countries which simply there hasn't much changed over the last 10 years. So it's a little bit an up and down between levels, but there's not a kind of clear trend that these countries have managed to reduce early schooling during the last year. So for example, if you look at Germany, France, also in the back then, Finland, Sweden, they do not have these enormously high rates, but there is no development in really in sight. And we have some countries which manage to decrease early school leaving, although they are already on a quite low level. So this is, for example, especially the Netherlands, but also Ireland is developing quite fine. There are many reasons why countries might be able to decrease early school leaving. It can be something, a reason which has nothing to do with the policy. It can be the labor market who has different effects on early school leaving rates, either triggering early school leaving because it offers lots of unskilled work and lots of jobs for young people, or having the opposite effect, not offering any jobs anymore and motivating people more to stay in education and training. But beside all these, policy-independent reasons in a way, we believe that there is also a policy connection to that, and there's also a link to the question of what type of approach countries are taking to reduce early school leaving. And that is where it now becomes hopefully more interesting. If we look at policy, in last year, Member States discussed the whole question of early school leaving within the Council. Based on a proposal from the Commission, they discussed a recommendation in the Council and agreed on a baseline on how policies against early school leaving should look like. And this Council recommendation was adopted in June, and it takes one very important or crucial things, are in the core of this recommendation. The one is the question of evidence-based. So member states should identify the main reasons or the main triggers for early school leaving in their countries. Which groups are most affected? When do they drop out? What are the main reasons for dropping out for early school leaving? And they should then, in the next step, adopt and implement comprehensive strategies against early school leaving. The recommendation, of course, invites them to do even more, to look at specific groups, etc., but I leave that out for the moment. For the Commission, the request is to monitor developments at European level and to support member states in developing comprehensive strategies. The recommendation has an annex which describes a little bit what comprehensive policies should look, how they should look like. And one important layer, and also I guess here very much fitting to the debate here on the conference, is the first one. It's the identification and analysis of the problem. It's the monitoring of the situation and then also the coordination of policies. So really to look more into detail what the situation is like, what the problems are. And just to give you an example of situation in some region and why it is really a problem in many regions and in many countries to have exactly this analysis and to have a basis for good policy, I was in one German region in autumn, and this region has, compared to other German region, I don't want to name it. It just would be a kind of blaming exercise. But this region has a higher early school leaving rate than other German regions. So there is a kind of need to think why. They have a low migration rate. They are in the eastern part of Germany. So migration is not really the issue behind. But the economy is recovering, so it's not really that there is a kind of economic disaster which would not motivate education. So it's a little bit unclear. And on the question why young people are leaving school early in this country and why they do drop out so often, the ministry was not really able to give an answer, and in addition never had really asked the question. So there is really a lack of knowledge on early school leaving processes. And this is why the recommendation stresses very much this point, and this is why we are now working also very much on the point of evidence-based. In addition, the recommendation proposes to take a comprehensive approach in policy development. So really to look at all at three levels. So on the one hand, on prevention, which in this context means to prevent the problem before it even starts. So to really to look what are the obstacles for young people, for children to be successful in school, and to look at these obstacles on the one hand on a systemic level, so what, and on the other hand also to foster early childhood education and care. So really to give them the best start and the best chances to be successful in education, and to try to solve the problem of early school leaving even before they have entered school. The second point is intervention measures, so to have measures at school which help early and immediately when first problems occur, either on the level of the school, if there is a school with a high dropout rate, to look what are the problems, what are the main things which could be improved in that school, and to look also at the individual pupil at risk of dropping out and how they can help these pupils. And then, of course, to compensate dropouts, so to help those who have already dropped out to get back in education, to complete their education and training, and to have a second chance or a second try. An important point linked to this is that, of course, prevention and intervention is much more successful and much more efficient than compensating the early school leaving later on. So the chance that people are successful the second way around is lower than they are successful the first way around. So we should really help them not to drop out. But nevertheless, of course, we have to foresee measures for those who drop out, because even with perfect policies, we would have always a situation where young people have to stop at a certain moment and need to get back later on. Okay, I would like now to tell you a little bit about the situation in European countries at the moment, a general picture we have at the moment of the situation of early school leaving, which could also give you a background to your discussion then. In last year, in 2011, member states prepared national reports in our cooperation framework on their policy development during the last years. And one chapter of this national report looked at early school leaving and their policies against early school leaving. We analyzed these reports, and these are now some of the results coming from this analysis. So first of all, member states collect in a very different way data and information on early school leavers. Some member states have very developed system. For example, they have individual pupil numbers which are linked to a pupil, and they can really track development of pupils over their school career. They have these these data covering a long period, and can really say what are the main difficulties in a school career where young people are dropping out. Others have very reduced administrative data, have just data about the number of young people dropping out there, of gender, migration background, etc., but very reduced in a certain level, at least at a certain level of organizational level. And then often these, and some combine it also with additional surveys, so they know, okay, this data from administration is not really sufficient, so we launch some surveys to know a little bit more. Some combine it. So it's really a quite widespread picture what we have in member states. But in many countries, we have to come to the conclusion that the methods used at the moment are not really sufficient to indicate really the problem and really to say something in detail about the problem and what is behind this, the early school leaving processes, and where is the best chance to address this difficulty. And where we have also an enormous gap, obviously, is in monitoring measures against early school leaving. So we have lots of nice projects here and there, programs in different countries, which are successful in a way, but monitoring and evaluation of these programs and projects is quite weak, and it is quite difficult to draw conclusions from that. When we look at the policy measures taken, we also see that there is a kind of imbalance between measures. So measures often, according to these reports, over-rely on second chance education. So there are lots, of course, basically in every member state, we have measures, second chance education provision, some offers to young people who have dropped out of education to go back. Also, on there's a strong focus on bringing young people who fail in general education at a lower secondary level to bring them into vocational education and training, and to try in this way to avoid dropout, which in many cases might work fine and well and is a good solution, but not necessarily in all. So there's a little bit, we have the impression, over-reliance on these type of issues. But we have not very many measures, or at least taken from these reports, not much investment in prevention of early school leaving. So things we know by first research results, which are crucial in this context, cooperation with parents, with the local community, involving other services, having cross-sectoral approaches with youth services, with social services. This is not extremely developed in the strategies of member states against early school leaving. Also, using extracurricular activities really with a focus on supporting young people at risk of dropout is not so widespread, obviously. We have here made a kind of a graph out of these results, and I have to warn you, this is not at all scientific, but it gives a nice picture to it. So what we simply did is we looked at the reports and we looked how often certain measures are mentioned in member states. In the reports from member states. We can't link it to budget, so we can't really say how important it is in relation to other measures, but it gives a little bit an impression what is at the moment obviously lacking. And we have tested this graph now with several audiences, and most of them confirm simply that this seems to reflect the reality. So this, for example, teacher education is... So to help teachers to support better young people at risk is not very widespread. So there are different policy gaps, really, in the current situation, or things where we have to develop more, or member states have to develop more. To come to some conclusions, well, the first thing is that, in general, we need more knowledge about early school leaving processes, not only on European level, of course, on European level it's also interesting, but also on national and regional level. So there seems to be a huge gap in the knowledge about early school leaving processes at national and regional level. Does not concern every country, of course, as I said, but in many countries this is the case, and there we need more information really to target policies. Then measures are not really monitored, so they are not as efficient as they could be, because we have not enough information and data to really design them in a more efficient way, and we do not really learn from experience. We have also in many countries a situation where we have these lots of programs and projects different, they are overlapping, or they are doing something in parallel, but there's hardly any coordination or communication between them. So it's not really a learning from each other. And we have a little bit, we think that there is a need to make a step from implementing projects and programs against early school leaving to implementing policies against early school leaving. So really to have a kind of a qualitative change in the way we address the problem at Europe, in Europe and in each member state. And we have an over-reliance on second chance education. And for this point, maybe... Well, something for you also to discuss, but my impression is that this over-reliance on second chance education is a little bit strongly linked to not knowing enough about early school leaving and not being able to design targeted measures to prevent early school leaving, because I need much more information and much more knowledge about the process if I want to prevent it compared to just trying to help young people afterwards, after they have dropped out. What we are doing at the moment and in future? Well, on the one hand, we have the European 2020 strategy, which implies also a constant reporting of member states on their activities in the field of early school leaving, due to the fact that it is one of the key targets to reduce early school leaving in Europe. It is also a national target for most of member states, so they have really defined early school leaving rate they want to reach by 2020, and they have to report on early school leaving. So this is one mechanism to keep in the discussion and really to keep this discussion also alive and to have some point there. Then we focus very much on peer learning. We have we had a big conference on early school leaving in March, but now we have also a thematic working group since December last year on early school leaving. This thematic working group assembled nearly all member states plus Iceland, Norway, Croatia and Turkey to exchange methods, to exchange experiences and really to develop policy further and to come up to more policy proposal, more policy guidance for member states to develop comprehensive policies. We have an ongoing policy debate. Of course, we have the recommendation which needs to be followed up, where we have to look at member states, how they implement it. And in addition, we use the European funding mechanisms like the structural funds and the European education programs and research programs to invest also in policies and measures against early school leaving, but also in research on early school leaving. So there are different elements we try to address it. In the one hand, direct cooperation with member states and discussion. On the other hand, also with investing into research and also, for example, into experimentation things and looking what really could work and what not, what kind of evidence we do have. I thank you very much for your attention. I hope that helps you a little bit and in your discussion now and triggers us a bit. Thank you very much.
Do you want to take some questions? Do you want to take Hi. Suzanne, unfortunately, is not able to stay to the very end of the session because she's got to go off to another meeting. So she's happy to take any quick questions and direct questions to her specifically about her presentation now. So if anybody got any questions they want to ask Suzanne? It's obviously very clear. EC policy on early school leaving. Very straightforward. Thank you. There's a mic coming over to you.
Thank you for your very interesting presentation. I think that policy on early school leaving already lasts much longer than 2010. It started in 2000 and you had a lot of experience. And what I wonder, you also have seen several successful activities. Has there been already made an evidence base of what is working in early school leaving? And can we build on that evidence base instead of invent again a new one?
No, as far as I'm aware, there's not really something you would call an evidence base on. And if you look at some systematic reviews, something in that kind, we do not have. Of course, the recommendation is very much based on experience and then the work with member states before 2010. So there was already a working group on social inclusion in education, which focused very much on early school leaving, and we gathered the results of these groups to develop the recommendation and to feed into this approach. So we try to base our current work on what has been done before. But I think there's really a lack in collecting these different examples from Europe and really collecting also the evidence on what works and what not and under which circumstances, because there are some measures which work fine in a certain setting but are completely unsuccessful in another setting. So this is really lacking, and that is something we will have to do in the next years to make policy development more efficient.
It would be interesting if you could indicate the size of the problem, because it's obvious that from the ethical point of view, from the individual point of view, it's a catastrophe if you do not get proper education. We know that. But when we say we have 12% average, what then is the size? Because that also means something as to what you can do to do something about it, because if it's very costly, you would invest more in solving it than if it's not that costly. And if it's extremely costly, it's strange that there's no sort of evidence base in the sense of some overview of what do we know about this from Europe or from United States? Because it's a very general problem. Mm. And at the Danish Clearinghouse, we are preparing a review on dropout in higher education, but this is which is similar to this, but not the same. And we know that is extremely costly to society. So, what have you any sort of indication of the size of the problem?
Well, yes. First of all, 14% at the moment means it's around about 6 million young people. 6 million young people between 18 and 24 have not finished upper secondary level and are not in education and training anymore. So this is a number of people and indicates a little bit already the size of the group. Some countries have started to calculate the costs of this problem, and for example, the Netherlands have done it a couple of years ago, and also Finland, and they came up with quite impressive figures. So, for example, for Finland, the result was that the loss on every early school leaver for 40 years of his lifetime, so the whole professional period of his lifetime, would be around about 1 million euro. It's the cost for the social costs and for social support, social aid, and so on, but it's also the loss on income and tax. So if we really calculate it, we come up to a quite high figure. Several countries are now trying to do that and to do comparable estimations and to calculate these figures, simply also to justify the cost for measures against early school leaving. And at the moment in this thematic working group, we are trying to get an overview of the existing calculations in different countries and the different approaches, and also try to compare a little bit this. Often it is difficult to compare the different studies because they take different cost categories, they have different education systems, the labor market are differently structured, so the effect of early school leaving is simply different. So you might have lower costs in countries where anyway the skills level on the labor requested on the labor market is lower. So there are lots of difference and variables, and we try now to get a bit closer to this. But from first studies we have, it is quite enormous. Besides the problem that it will grow the cost because we have a development where more and more skills are requested on the labor market. So the difficulties for young people with insufficient education will grow and over the lifetime.
Thank you. This is not exactly a question, but a kind of the suggestion, because I know this is European Commission project and it involves European member states, but I would just like to draw your attention that the Network of Education Policy Centers, which includes some EU countries and some non-EU, have done a study of monitoring school dropouts that involves some Central Asian, some Caucasus countries, and some South European countries. So this is just a suggestion to use those studies and those experiences in both creating a kind of what works and what doesn't work basis, and also to compare the results, because some of those countries will sooner or later become the members, so why to lag behind? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Now there.
Just wondering if the dropout rates have been looked at in terms of gender and if there were different reasons in terms of different genders.
Yes, there's usually like in all aspects, more or less in school education nowadays, girls outperform boys. So the dropout rate in general for girls is lower than for boys. And a little bit, boys are in a more difficult situation in this respect. There are only, I guess, two countries where it's exceptionally the other way around, or where the boys and girls are at the same level. But in general, there's a difference of a couple of percentage points. Well, the different reasons is, I guess, it's a little bit like the same problem of low performance of boys in schools. So they seem to have a problem of the whole way school is run, is functioning, the discipline aspects in school. So it's a kind of broader discussion, and I think we have not yet really come to a good conclusion why boys are more affected and what would help boys to be better in school education in general, in overall performance, but also to adapt better to the school environment. But there seem to be several issues in the way boys grow up in their difficulties in puberty and in defining masculinity and dealing with different social and interactivity problems, and where they have obviously more problem to cope with the school situation than girls do have. So I think that we have to take, in principle, we can take the same analysis for low performance of boys in schools and school dropout. I guess the core of the problem is more or less the same or very close. In some cases, the labor market may play a different role, that boys can have better chances to get low-skilled jobs, let's say in construction or whatever. But I think there's a stronger focus to be put on the situation of boys in education in general.
Given the absence of an evidence base, as you suggested, based on systematic reviewing, what do you think is the proper relationship between Europe, the EC, and the member states in trying to do something about that? I presume there's more than just gathering information, isn't there? There has to be selected as well, and there would have to be studies made or evaluations of a reasonable standard. Is there a role for coordinating what happens in member countries at the EC level, or is it all down to member countries to do it in their own way?
Well, I think there is, of course, a request for member states to do it in their own way and really to look at their possibilities to have more research on that and to improve their evidence base. But I think at the European level, what is interesting to compare different approaches in addressing early school leaving, exactly when it comes to developing policy, not so much when it concerns different projects or programs, smaller scale programs, but rather when it comes to policy. And for example, we will have a peer learning activity in the Netherlands here in autumn, and at that activity we are now thinking about comparing the Netherlands, the Dutch approach and the Irish approach. They are both quite successful, but they take a completely different strategy to come to this point, and that might be interesting to look at the different components and also to develop better guidance for other member states how they could approach, because the Dutch model might not be useful in all countries. The Dutch have agreements with all regions to reduce early school leaving and focus very much over this regional level to reduce it. This might not be possible for all member states, whereas the Irish look more at national programs and coordinated on national level but implemented locally and have in this way a kind of coordination approach. So I think at that point it makes really sense to look at the approaches in different countries and to see what type of things work under certain conditions and in certain educational settings.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for your contribution.